This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
6 to 9 a.m.
This is Power Breakfast with Faith Mangobe and Iman Rapetti.
At 7:42 on this Monday morning, turning our attention now to South Africa's third investment summit. South Africa will host its third investment conference on the 17th to the 18th of November 2020. Now, we do know that it's all about reconstructing this economy in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. We've got a minister in the presidency, Jackson Tembu, who this year's South African investment conference saying that it will focus on the delivery of existing commitments to realize job creation as well as economic development. So to talk to us more about exactly what we can foresee for this investment summit, we're joined on the line now by political economist Professor Patrick Bond. Professor Bond, thanks a lot for joining us this morning on Power Breakfast. Always a pleasure to have you.
Thanks so much. Good morning to you and the listeners.
We always speak about these investment conferences as not being more than just talk shops. I think the significant part of it was that even in 2018, President Cyril Ramaphosa set a goal of attracting about $100 billion, for example, of new investment over a five-year period. And also looking at securing pledges. It's very difficult, though, to make pledges materialize into actual work and actual money in the bank.
That's correct. And in fact, the World Investment Report of the United Nations just came out to show that as a pre-existing condition before COVID-19, our sicknesses in attracting foreign investment resulted in a decline in 2019, 15% in foreign direct investment. So notwithstanding all the hype, it turns out that the transnational corporates look at the situation here. They may listen to Ramaphosa, they may take some of the goodies on offer, the tax breaks and the liberalization of finance and all of the things that make it a very attractive place, very high profit rates. But actually, for new investment, it turns out that we've had a negative 15% in 2019. And it turns out as well that the vast majority of our investments are phantom FDI, because even UNCTAD, the UN Conference on Trade and Development, says these investments are mostly intra-firm financial transactions, so foreign headquarters lending to the local branch plant. So it's just to take advantage of extremely high interest rates here. It's quite disappointing.
I mean, disappointing would be if we go back and review of the promises made in 2018, 2019, and to see exactly how much of that has materialized, saying that not many of the projects have actually managed to kick off. Yes, though some have. But if you're going to be having conferences, then we must have a report back on how are we faring on the previous two pledges, the previous two conferences that held. Otherwise, all we're doing here is hoping for money in the sky, and we're not going to see work done.
Yes, that's right. It's not just these investment conferences, which are just sort of platforms, but there's continual attempts to attract FDI. And let me just mention that, too. Today's Mercury newspaper in Durban, front page about a huge new Western-oriented auto sector special economic zone in South Durban near the Toyota plant. And that would attract, you know, Koreans, Germans, more Japanese investment, according to the front page report in the Mercury. But the problem is there's vast state subsidies, which we really can't afford in these very carbon intensive and capital intensive special economic zones, especially for autos. It's running over 30 billion rand a year to try to push these cars into the international market. They're luxury cars, the world market is shrinking, and it's already glutted. And then the second big investment promise comes from China. Do you remember in 2018, President Ramaphosa co-chaired in Shanghai the Forum on China-Africa Cooperation and brought back promises, especially for his home province, Limpopo, and that's called the Musina-Makato Special Economic Zone. But that would include a 3,300-megawatt coal-fired power plant and other smelters. So it's really building back worse at a time, you know, with President Joe Biden, if I can say those words, I'm not sure, but he's going to do the very first thing is rejoin Paris, and that means things like carbon taxes will be hitting South Africa for this faraway markets, for these carbon-intensive, capital-intensive products. Is that really the FDI that we're appropriately seeking if we want to adapt to post-COVID conditions and create jobs and infrastructure that's appropriate for all the unmet needs? I don't think so.
You mentioned a newspaper headline, Professor Patrick Bond. By the way, if you're just joining us, he is political economist, just talking to us about the upcoming investment summit. You mentioned news headlines there, quoting the Mercury. I want to match your quote with one from Arab News, actually, just to look at how, foreign countries or, countries with an interest in South Africa are viewing our economic prospects. They talk about us as being a resurging economy that has a lot of similarities with Saudi Arabia. They refer to this visit by Ramaphosa in 2018, and how the boost in economic ties and relationships of that country improved. Then they talk about their own investment and creating a power producer foothold in our country with regard to renewable energy and those projects in South Africa. The picture's looking good from a foreign investment perspective into South Africa. And a lot of eyes, of course, are on our pension funds, which people like Josiento Ramakgopa was saying is a huge pool of liquidity that is driven or that is, that is loaded with opportunity. How do we begin to make use of those increased or positive sentiments to really materialize some of the big infrastructure development projects we want to do in South Africa?
Well, I think it's critical to distinguish between hype, optimism based on a stock market that remains among the highest in world history from market capitalization to GDP. That is, we have a really bubbly, casino-like stock market that creates this sort of artificial hype. In fact, there's only one country using this Buffett indicator, market capitalization, the value of the companies to GDP, that's higher than South Africa. That is Saudi Arabia, because of the big oil company being listed, Aramco. And I think, as you mentioned, Saudi Arabia, it's also unsatisfactory, but a good reflection, because you remember that President Ramaphosa embraced Mohammed bin Salman, the leader of Saudi Arabia, the sort of corrupt oligarchy that's extremely sexist and militarist. It's engaged in a war with Yemen. That's absolutely tragic. And it seems to me those are some of the areas of, investor interest that I would want to question, because I think Saudi Arabia doing energy here, when we have so much great solar and so much great wind potential, is a big danger. And then secondly, I think then the big dilemma of the stock market and the insurance and pension funds being invested in these casino-like investments that are extremely corrupt. The PwC of South Africa is the second most corrupt corporate sector in the world after India. So I'd rather see a focus towards infrastructure meeting basic needs. It may not be as high profitable, but it would be much better for the sake of the society in future.
All right, let's take some views from our listeners now, and you can also weigh in on 0861987000. We're talking to political economist Professor Patrick Bond. And Patrick, you are in Centurion. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Madam Speaker. I wanted to ask about the labor situation here in South Africa. A lot of these foreign investors always complain about our labor being too militant, or there's a lot of strikes. Is that a fair assessment of our labor, or are they trying to disempower us?
Thank you, Patrick. Prof.
Yes, absolutely. It's correct. According to the World Economic Forum, the South African working class has been rated the most militant of 140 countries in the world during the 2010s, and is currently third most militant in this, what's called the Global Competitiveness Report. That means that if they ask corporates, are you working with your labor in a cooperative or a confrontational way, South Africa is amongst the most militant. But don't forget, this is a country that doesn't have that high union density compared to the outsourced and informal sectors in the economy. So typically what a company and now governments are doing is just going to the outsourcing for the mass-based labor. Then, of course, we're short on skills, high-skilled labor for a world economy that's demanding fourth industrial revolution-ready kind of investments and economic activity. And I'm not sure we can ever do much about that, given that, again, according to the World Economic Forum, we're pretty much in the top, the bottom three or four in the world for education and math sciences. So I think those are the realities. Militant labor in the most unequal country in the world. The PwC ranks as the second most corrupt corporate elite in the world. very angry workers, and not that high a skill level. So I think going for export-oriented growth, going for foreign direct investment, going for high technology would be a disaster. We need a much more balanced economy that can meet basic needs with local production. And I thought that was what we were going to get with a more sustainable and inward-oriented, localized economy. That was what was being advertised from the presidency. Unfortunately, that's not what's going to be happening, I think, and the austerity from the finance ministers is just going to make all of that worse. Mm.
If we're to continue to look inward, and if looking inward is the way in which we're able to actually have an economy that is far more revived, then is there any precedence, or is there any use or relevance even in continuing to have these investment summits, seeking for foreign investment? Because we're not going to stop having them, but if we're saying that we need to start looking inwards in terms of being able to localize and really restructure our economy from an inward perspective, then Prof, then what is the point of having these summits? Is it all just going to be for nothing?
So that's apparently what the investors themselves are saying by having these dramatic declines, as I say, 15% in 2019 before COVID-19, much greater decline this year, plus the kind of investment we're still getting, which are financial parasites, to be frank, the intra-company financial transactions that UNCTAD acknowledges is the dominant kind of investment we're getting. We have illicit financial flows that even the Treasury admits run from $10 to $25 billion a year to $400 billion a year. So yeah, that's actually quite, I think, a good way to put it. They're talk shops. They're not delivering, and they're wasting time and attention. And also, they exhibit a tragic neo-colonial mentality, really. And they go against the spirit of localization and balancing an economy that's become the most unbalanced in the world.
Professor Patrick Bond, will leave it there for this morning. Political economist speaking to us about South Africa hosting its third investment summit. Will there be an appetite for investing in South Africa, or are we actually underestimating just how much COVID-19 has impacted the global economy as well as the ability for us to charter those investment opportunities? Share your thoughts with us on 0861-987-000.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.